Okay, other business. First item of business, Town and Bay subdivision, subdivision 2013-14, or 2003-14, request to amend conditions of approval.
This is a request to amend the conditions of approval for the previously approved Heron Bay subdivision. The final subdivision plan for Heron Bay was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission at their meeting of Thursday, May 12, 2005. Specifically, the request is to strike the condition that states the applicant has agreed to install a multimodal path, paved path throughout the project that will be 5 feet wide and separated from the streets by a 3 foot wide grass area. A signed agreement for the removal of sidewalks has been agreed upon by the HOA and the developer, and the signed agreement has been included in the paperless packet. The tax parcels are District 234, Map 5, parcels 211.00 through 541.00. The zoning is AR1 Agricultural Residential Zoning District.
I have some questions about this one before we... I didn't see that there... Who makes up the homeowners association? Is it both? How many lots there were that have already been sold? Who's... Was there a vote on this? So
who
controls the association, the whole,
The HOA, I do have some correspondence with Todd Moyer, who is the, from Capano. He did state that, I don't have the exact number of homes that have been built. There are still 60 or so lots in the development that is still owned by Capano Residential under the name Column Bear Cap LLC, maybe, and then the HOA has been under homeowner control since 2018. So the homeowners do have run the HOA.
But so Mr. Capano's name on this is because he's got so many lots that he still...
He's the developer that was developing the project came to an agreement with the HOA that basically the sidewalks were not going to be installed. I'm pretty sure they came to a financial agreement from between the both of them.
But we don't have that information from the HOA?
So just that document was what was provided.
If I can assist, Mr. Chairman, in anticipation of potential questions of this nature, we did ask if the HOA representative could potentially join us on the telephone line for limited factual questions. That option, I believe they are on the line. Mr. Dolan's nodding his head. So.
The question I have is why? Mm-hmm. They were proper, okay? They were on the plans when it was presented to us. They were on the plans when the preliminary plan was approved. They were on the plans when the final plan was approved. Why are we taking them out now? I'd just like to know why.
Why didn't they get built in the first place?
Why should they have already been built?
And that answer was never answered to me.
Great. Well, that was a chance. whoever's on the line.
Let me make sure I understand this. So there's an HOA, and the developer holds the majority of that HOA. Is that correct?
I don't think we know that. It sounds like it's been turned over from developer control to the property.
But he has 60 properties in there, so he's the controlling vote.
Well, I don't know that he's a controlling vote. He would, depending on how they're set up, he would either have one vote for each.
One lot.
So it's, I mean. And it's how many lots are in the subdivision?
I don't think it's
whatever the percentage is.
But yeah, based on tax parcel data, it's 300 or something.
We're all the way to this point? Several of the homes are done?
I mean, at a minimum, I'd like to know what's 100% of the total lots? How many of those did the developer hold? And then of that balance percentage, let's say it's 100 lots, 60, he owns 60, there's 40. That means of the 40 lots, or whatever the percentage is it holds, what do 100% of those people agree?
Yeah, what do we have to do to get, is there someone on the line or do you just think they are?
So the operator is standing by.
Okay, would you please put through the person representing Heron Bay.
If Paige or Todd are on the line, please dial 5-star. first. Todd, your line is open.
Hello, Todd.
Hi, Todd Moyer with the panel.
Hi, Todd. I assume you've been listening to the discussion.
Yes.
Okay, tell us why.
Basically, the sidewalks are expected to be asphalt sidewalks between the swale and the road.
Right.
And there's just a lot of places, you know, they'd be from driveway to driveway. There's a lot of mailboxes in place. From what I understand in the past, the HOA did not want to really take on the maintenance of the sidewalk. And like I said, it would just be a lot of a disruption with the mailboxes. A lot of people have put stuff around their driveways, and then to have all that construction go through there and put them in. He also made a note about the number of lots. All of the lots are built. There are homes on every lot now. And I don't remember the exact count. I thought I heard you say 325 or 360. I can't remember off the top of my head how many there is. But the developer has retained 60 some lots, and he has rental homes on them.
So he only owns 60, and there's 300 and some.
Was there a vote on this?
Correct.
Was there a vote put out to the homeowners on this?
There was a vote put out way back in 2012, and then there was another vote that I don't think ever finished because of, I don't know, some disruption with then current board members. But overall, no one really wanted these sidewalks in there. And we've come to an agreement with the board and started that process.
Well,
and it was for a monetary amount and to make renovations at the clubhouse, which we have already undertaken.
The sequence of construction is a no-brainer for me. If it was done when it was supposed to have been done, it wouldn't be an issue now to deal with mailbox front stuff.
This litigate for those members of the commission and the public that might not be familiar with the sequence. Could you briefly review that?
Yeah, the roads, when they were going in, that sidewalk would have gone in before then or right immediately after, and not when all the homes were built out. That should have been done way early on in construction.
It does sound like there's a person from the Homeowner Association, I guess, is it Paige Dagg? I don't know if that's somebody who's associated with the developer or with the Homeowners Association, if we want to hear.
No, she's the president of the HOA.
Okay.
So, but...
Is she a resident there?
She is the president, yes, and resident.
Okay, and then she represented Canada.
It seems like we would need, see, for me, what I think I would need is I would need to see a roll call of those 260 owners separate from the ones that Capano owns, and see if what their disposition is. If 95% or whatever, if some huge percentage of them say, you know what, you know, an asphalt sidewalk is going to take a certain amount of maintenance, and wherever these things are placed, we don't want it. We would prefer, they offered us a settlement amount to put in the pool clubhouse or something like that. I mean, I get, but we don't have. I don't think we have that data. Yep. And that information.
You're right. You're
so right. I don't think I don't think I'd be ready to move on it. But if I had that data, I would have more information to be able to render, make a decision.
But when you have that roll call, which I think we should, those who voted against it expected sidewalks. They paid for sidewalks, and now someone else's vote is doing away with them.
Well, this again speaks to this issue that we have way too often, where the developer comes in and wants to do something different after the lots have already been sold. If they've been advertised in a certain way, the residents have an expectation, and because of that, to Mr. Hopkins' point, because of that, for us to make a change, we have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that a vast majority of the people
right.
are requesting this.
Yeah,
okay.
I agree.
But if they are, if for example, if almost 100% of the people that make up less 60 number want this change, well, that would be an easy decision for us, for me.
you know, if they want.
I agree, but we shouldn't even have to have this discussion, because the developer should have done what he was supposed to do to begin with.
That is something that...
And his sidewalk should have been in before the houses were built.
That is something I would like to see the council take on, or something, that when things like this come up, I don't care if the people who live there now say, yeah, no, we don't want any of that stuff, and we don't care. There should be some fine or something that goes out there, because this whoopsie, I forgot, is just getting old, and I'm...
We just went through this a couple of weeks ago.
And I will tell you, this sounds like a broken record, because I've said this before, this is an older subdivision.
Right.
And Ms. Stevens, to your point, newer ones, this doesn't happen, because the street designs are locked in tighter, like Ms. Wingate was saying, where the swales and the sidewalks and streets and the curbs are all being designed and built all at the same time. It's one system. And everything else is bonded, you know, and the bonded, the tracking of that.
I understand that, but this developer is a developer who has been in business long enough to know how to put in a sidewalk.
And when to put them in.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly, it sounds like, you know, as Mr. Wheatley said, if you want, because I don't know that you're going to get the information and in enough detail, or verifiable, if that's a word, you know, over the phone. It seems to me that, you know, it may get approved or it may not, but you're not even at the point of making that decision without the data that Mr. Hopkins was talking about, and I would think that should be in writing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We, you know, yeah, with names that the
addresses,
that
genies, whatever, yeah,
could verify.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yep. So then my...
You can sign a petition about the developer that wants to come next door to you. You can certainly sign a petition saying whether or not you want a sidewalk in front of your house. You know?
Right.
Yep. Mr. Moyer, do you have a company that handles maintenance in that development?
We turned it over to Homeowner Control in 2018.
No, is there a property management company?
We'd have to ask Paige.
Okay.
Well, didn't you just say you guys own 50 or 60 lots in there? Wouldn't you know if there was a management company there or not?
There is a management company. The HOA has Solutions Property Management.
Okay, great.
All right, then if
that
they could... I would like to see this vote run through the property management company, so that it's not a matter of somebody on the HOA saying, hey, Bob, you haven't voted yet. Let me stand here while you sign it. Because that has happened in many developments.
It's my understanding that, you know, they might not have a vote, but this has been brought up at annual meetings. And that's what started the whole process, to come to an agreement with the HOA, which they did. We signed an agreement with them, and we started the actual renovations at the clubhouse.
Well, maybe
so
you should
have a vote
started
at the next HOA meeting. Yeah, with everybody. And if they can't be there, they need to send their,
I mean,
vote in.
Just because it was brought up at a meeting doesn't mean that's what the majority of people want. I mean, I had people bring up stuff at our HOA meeting that they wanted, you know, cotton candy machines. Well, that doesn't mean everybody needs a cotton candy machine.
And the issue is, it's, I mean, you know, we're not talking about just a popularity vote. It's an amendment to a final site plan, you
right.
know? I mean, so well, that's formal.
That's
you know?
The issue. It's, and I understand that it's the issue that perhaps they weren't thinking about at the time they were contemplating all these things, but it is the issue we have to think about. So I think in fairness to the applicant, we need to let them come away from this with some specific instructions as to what we would like to see. Anybody want to take a shot at putting that into words?
I would like to see a vote by the homeowners of this development run through the property management company, where we have how many people that
names, addresses,
names, address,
signatures?
Yeah.
So.
With a yes, no.
With a yes or a no for this.
And a phone number.
So is this a 75%? Because they're changing the site plan. They need to have at least 75% of the homeowners.
I want to go ahead.
If they were increasing density, you need at least 55% minimum before an application can be submitted for a public hearing. So that's where the 55% usually comes from. But there is no percentage for a design change. So,
okay. However, though, I agree with what Mr. Whitehouse is saying. At the same time, though, the commission, like I think you've all stated, have said, all right, if we're going to change something after lots have been sold and homes are built, we need to make sure that, you know, what's
it's a higher standard. It's a, yeah. In my view, it's a higher.
It's not, you know, 50%.
A lot of HOAs, for instance, you're going to change bylaws or something, right, require at least 2/3.
Right, exactly.
I think it should be at least 2/3, if not 75%.
I agree.
So
then we need a vote with at least 2/3 of the homeowners voting one way or the other, yes or no?
I would err on the side of 75%.
Yeah, I'd go with 75%. Yeah, they're fine.
Are you saying 75% need to vote or 75% need to vote?
Yes.
To approve it.
That's a good question.
Not have the sidewalks. I mean, the high standard would be you needed 75% that said no, we don't want the sidewalks.
Yeah, I agree. Right. That's what I think.
I think that's what you meant. But yep.
Right.
You
yeah. I agree.
Okay,
so then
we need to put this form of a motion.
I think, yeah, you'd started to do it pretty well, I think.
So we're requiring a vote of the homeowners to run through the management company with names, addresses, lots, phone numbers of.
I would say not phone numbers because that's a public record.
Okay,
you know, that's just personal information. So,
okay, yeah. Fair enough. And
acknowledging whether it's a yes or no.
Yes or no, but when we need a vote of at least 75% of the homeowners to decide yes or no.
Not counting the 60.
I don't care if it's 60 or no.
No, 60 or there. 75%
of the total.
Saying no, they do not want of the total, right?
Yeah.
In fairness to the developer, if he owns 60 lots,
he's
he has 60 votes.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's 326 lots.
Absolutely. It's one person, one lot, one vote. That's how it works. Right. And there's no getting around that. Okay. So.
And Ms. Stevenson, I just want to clarify one point at the end. You said 75 yes or no. So what you want is 75% of the lot owners agreeing to remove the pads.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Second.
Okay, and the motion is to defer action until such time as we receive the information. Is that correct? Would be the right way to
Yes. Okay. Pending that receipt of that information.
Okay, all right. Move second to defer action on Heron Bay Subdivision 2003-14, request to amend condition of approval until such time as we receive the information requested in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. All right. Our next item is Haley's Glen, Subdivision 2017-17, formerly known as Kielbasa. Request to amend conditions of approval.
This is a request to amend the conditions of approval for the previously approved Haley's Glen subdivision, a cluster subdivision consisting of 67 lots with private roads, open space, and other related amenities. The final subdivision plan for Haley's Glen was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission at their meeting of Thursday, May 27th, 2021. Specifically, the request is to amend condition K, which currently states, deliveries of dirt, fill, or other similar materials shall only be made to or from the site between the hours of 8 a.m. through 5 p.m., Monday through Friday, to read, deliveries of dirt, fill, or other similar materials shall only be made to and from the site between the hours of 7 a.m. through 5 p.m., Monday through Saturdays. A copy of the written request has been included in the paperless packet. The tax parcel is District 234, Map 12, Parcel 11. The zoning is AR1, Agricultural Residential Zoning District.
Can I make a request on this too? Just as you may have noticed, we've added another sentence at staff's request to these signs. And if we're going to change this, I'd like to do it. Then we also add a sentence that says, a 24-inch by 36-inch notice sign confirming these hours in English and Spanish shall be prominently displayed at the site entrance during construction.
I would say on that, I think the sign's a great idea, and I'm fine. I would be fine with going to 7 a.m. I think Saturday needs to stay out of it.
Saturday was pulled out of it for a reason, so I agree.
There's people living around that, and it's already just busy. Saturday's just busy.
Right. That condition was put in that approval for a reason.
So Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m.?
Yep.
And a sign to be included.
With the standard sign language that I said.
Yep.
Shall I make a motion?
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve, partially approve, the request to amend the conditions of approval for Haley's Glen 2017-17, formerly known as Kielbasa, changing the Monday through Friday hours from till 7 to 5, keeping no work Saturday and Sunday, with a sign provided as per council's.
Right, the statement would be a 24-inch by 36-inch notice sign confirming these hours in English and Spanish shall be prominently displayed at the site entrance during construction.
A second.
So moved.
So moved and seconded to grant the request to amend the conditions of approval for Haley's Glen as follows. That is to permit deliveries 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. No Saturday or Sunday deliveries, and to construct the sign as noted in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Next item is Weston Willows Commercial Out Parcels, Site Plan 17-31, Preliminary Site Plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for commercial out parcel A of the Weston Willows property for the subdivision of a 26.737 acre more or less parcel into three parcels consisting of 2.197 acres plus or minus 1.718 acres more or less and residual lands comprising of 22.822 acres. Out parcel A will contain only commercially leased buildings with access off a 30-foot ingress egress access easement located on the northwest side what will be known as Beshe Avenue. Staff notes that the applicants state that the interconnectivity between adjoining commercial parcels is not possible due to an existing tax ditch right-of-way along the western property line and existing wetlands along the eastern property line. The preliminary site plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code and all conditions of approval. The tax parcel is District 135, Map 11, Parcel 33.00. The zoning is C1, General Commercial, and the zoning district, general commercial zoning district, and staff are awaiting agency approvals.
Hi, I have a question about this.
Okay.
In that, what do you mean you can't put a bridge over a tax ditch?
They put culverts in ditches every day.
Farmers do it all day long.
No, just in this area, I mean, that area is Route 9, it's Route 9. We don't want to make the same mistakes that were done in the past when they didn't think of interconnectivity or service roads. This is a chance to make sure that we can still get people around if we need to. So,
Agree.
So,
how do we do it?
So, as this is a preliminary pending agency approvals, if that was the commission's request, what staff could do is there's two options. We could bring it back as a revised preliminary and work with the applicant, or if the commission is happy to approve preliminary today, we could bring it back. It would probably be better to bring it back as a preliminary and take no action today. I would note, and the reason I say that is that the required number of spaces based on the area is 91 spaces, and 91 spaces are provided. So there may be some further design work needed on the location of car parking. So if that is the commission's request, it would be better to take no action on it, and staff will bring it back after further discussion. So.
Okay, then I make a motion that we defer for further action, looking into reaching that ditch.
Just back up. I don't know that we need to defer it because it's not like a hearing where the record's open.
So
each one of these is a one-shot thing.
Just table it.
Yeah, and just take no action on it. Yeah, just make a motion to take no action on this preliminary site plan.
Motion to take no action?
It's cleaner that way. That way it's clear.
Okay. All right, then I make a motion to take no action.
Okay. I second.
Move and second to take no action on Weston Willows Commercial Out Parcel Site Plan 17-31. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried, thank you. Our next item is Clean Bay Renewables LLC, site plan 1937 and conditional use number 2113, preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for a 2-megawatt power generation facility for renewable electricity and nutrient recovery and other site improvements to be located on the south side of DuPont Boulevard, Route 113. The Sussex County Council approved conditional use number 2213 at their meeting of Tuesday, July 31st, 2018, and this use was adopted through ordinance number 2589. The preliminary site plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code and all conditions of approval. The tax parcel is District 133, Map 6, Parcel 123.00. Zoning is AR1 Agricultural Residential Zoning District, and staff are actually now in receipt of all agency approvals.
Mr. Chairman, in regard to Clean Bay Renewables, LLC, S-19-37 and CU-2113, I move for preliminary. You have them all?
Mm-hmm.
So can I go preliminary?
Yeah,
preliminary and final site plan approval.
Second.
We're moving seconded to approve Clean Bay Renewables, LLC, site plan 1937 and condition use number 2113 as a preliminary and in final. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Next item is Good Earth Market site plan to 22-47, revised final site plan.
This is a revised final site plan for the establishment of a 5,200 square feet one-story theater building to an existing site. The property is located on the south side of Atlantic Avenue, Route 26, off Good Earth Lane. This plan is a revision to the preliminary site plan that was first reviewed and approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission at their meeting of Thursday, June 14th, 2018. This plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code. The tax parcels are District 134, Map 11, Parcel 182.02 and 181.02 and 181.03. The zoning is CR1 Commercial Residential Zoning District, and staff are in receipt of all agency approvals.
And if I could provide some additional information, Mr. Chairman, on top of that. So the Commission may remember this from the previous conditional use, which was CU2038, and that use was actually for a wedding venue and a tourist venue. And the conditions of approval of as part of the ordinance for that, but there was some discussion in the findings of fact for that, for that particular application, that discussed some of the activities taking place on the site. So in the hearing, we actually looked into the minutes and we looked into the findings of fact, and there was some reference to farm dinner events, arts and craft shows, seminars for cooking, open houses and presentations that were discussed in the original hearing. So
what you all needed to decide is, and this is a question I asked, and I appreciate that from Mr. Whitehouse, is whether a stage is in keeping with the originally approved conditional use, or it needs to go back through another public hearing because it's different enough from what was approved in the first place. So,
is the underlying zone?
I believe it's AR1 with a conditional use.
AR1. Okay. I thought I heard CR1.
It is CR1.
Is it CR1?
Now, yes.
Oh, okay.
If CR1, does it even need to be?
No, then it is just site plan review. So, yeah.
Well, if it's CR1, it's permitted.
Yeah, and that was my question as to what was part of the original.
It's a closed building theater, right? It's not an open air.
Because the original CU was required because the events venue was outdoors, and outdoor recreation and outdoor entertainment triggered the CU. That is a good point, though, that if this building came forward by itself, disconnected from the other elements, would it be permitted in the CR district?
Well, it looks like. In CR, I was just looking, and I recall now that it was conditional use, then it was rezoned, and then, you know, so it kind of went out of order as it went through, if I remember it. But indoor music places and theaters are permitted uses in CR1, so that in and of itself, I think, would be okay.
I'm okay.
Yeah, as long as it's an indoor theater, I'm good. If it's like a hit.
To my knowledge, it is indoor, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Everybody all right?
We're good.
And thanks for indulging. I just wanted to make sure that was correct.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the revised final site plan for Good Earth Market, S-20-47.
I second.
So moved and seconded to approve the revised final site plan for Good Earth Market, site plan 20-47 as a final. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carrie, thank you. Our next item is Bay Health Campus Route 9, site plan 21-10, revised preliminary site plan.
This is a revised preliminary site plan for the establishment of a 48,500 square feet medical office building, 287 parking spaces, and other site improvements to be located on the northwest corner of Lewis Georgetown Highway Route 9 and Hudson Road, Sussex County Road 258. The site has an approved change of zone 1866, that was approved by the Sussex County Council on February 5th, 2019, through ordinance number 2632. The revised preliminary site plan was first reviewed and deferred by the Planning and Zoning Commission at their meeting of Thursday, June 24th, 2021. The revised preliminary site plan was deferred in order for the applicant to provide more information on the site layout, landscaping, and lighting, which has been provided to you in your paperless packets. The site plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code. The tax parcel is District 235, Map 27, Parcel 11.01. The zoning is Institutional I-1 Zoning District, and staff are awaiting agency approvals.
On this one, I appreciate the work that they put into this and the thought with, you know, like where they put the entrance so that it wasn't shining car lights into somebody's house. But I don't think they've gone quite far enough. I think they need to have a buffer on the road between them and the people on Hudson Road. And I also believe that to make sure that they're not lighting up everybody's yards, that even the lights on the outside of the building can't be higher than any of the lights that are in the parking lot.
The post lighting.
Right. So it's not, so they're not, you know, when they go up further, the lights shine out farther. So anybody have any thoughts on that?
I agree with you on the lighting, but I wonder about for the buffer there, if that's gonna be, that would be confusing for people trying to get into the, I guess it wouldn't with the entrance. I just don't want them to miss.
Yeah, but they got the stormwater management planned right there.
I'm thinking that it's almost like it needs to be towards the top and then makes the round the corner, because as those cars come around, they're gonna be casting their light, they're gonna be casting their lights over towards those houses. In other words, it's more, I mean, now if you put your hand up, I can tell you where I would think you would want it to start to the right. Well, I'm talking about where the cars were. Okay, I guess the buffer. Are we saying that the buffer is going to be up by the asphalt hot, the parking lot, or are we going to be out by?
I just want there to be some kind of vegetated buffer in there between the houses across the road.
Yeah.
And all the lights of the parking lot, so that, because this parking lot will be lit up all the time.
It's kind of like this area here, right? Because aren't these houses?
There's houses
right here.
Yes, I looked at them tonight, today, in fact. Yeah, there's houses there. Some of them are in the wood. You know, there's some trees in the front yard already.
Let me back a little bit further. I was thinking, because I thought that was an open field. Artesian has a pump station there, but maybe they built houses the last time I looked in there and looked up there.
No, so you're Route 9 is down there by the...
This is Route 9 down here, isn't it?
Right.
Yep.
So, and that, right, you can see there's the names of all the people who are on that road.
Okay, gotcha.
So, I just wanted to have some kind of buffer.
My point was that you might need a little something up here, so when these cars are making, you know, doing this number here, that they're also not. So you're thinking that buffer might need to come all the way out here somewhere?
Yeah, I wanted some kind of buffer so that the lights...
Possibly need to turn a little bit like that, maybe.
Well, there is a buffer already up there at the top. They've proposed that, correct?
Yes, and I think they did also provide part of a landscape plan, adding a few additional trees up in that corner.
Yeah, they did put some more there, but I want something down the front just so that it's not lights lighting up people's front yards all night.
So what I would suggest, as we did with the previous item, that if that is the request, that the commission take no action on this and staff work with the applicant's engineers to bring this back. So.
Well, I'm sorry that this is slowing this down. I do think this is something that, you know, we need in Sussex County, more healthcare options, but I can't put more burden on the people who are already there with that.
And Mr. Whitehouse, you can, so there's a couple ways to approach this, and I think yours is probably the most economical and time-sensitive way to do it, because the commission, when you all review site plans, I'll just, for everybody's benefit, I'll just read you what it says. You all shall examine the proposed development, and developments, not just residential, it includes commercial, obviously, and things like this, with respect to the traffic and circulation patterns, internal and external, utilities, drainage, and community facilities, existing and proposed, surrounding development, existing or future, the preservation of trees or historic sites, provision for open space, and in general, with the objective of ensuring a durable, harmonious, and appropriate use of the land in accord with the objectives of the comprehensive plan. And then it says that you have the ability to approve a site plan, approve it subject to conditions, or disapprove a site plan. So I think rather than approve them with conditions or disapprove the site plan, the best course of action is for Mr. Whitehouse to have that conversation, but tell them it wasn't going to get approved, I think, the way you're describing, so they better sharpen their pencils, you know, and come back with it.
Okay.
So anyway, no motion required for that, but just an explanation of the process. But I think what he's proposed works through it and gives them some direction.
I'm hoping that, yeah, this can be expediently rectified, that just trying to do the best we can for everybody in Sussex. Okay? Moving on then.
So we need a motion to take no action?
I think we should, yeah.
Make a motion to take no action for all the reasons that we stated.
Second.
And seconded to take no action on Bay Health Campus Route 9 Site Plan 21-10, revised preliminary site plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thanks. Okay, our next item is Lands of American Cedar and Millwork, revised preliminary site plan.
This is a revised preliminary site plan for the establishment of a 9,000 square feet, one-story showroom storage building to an existing site. The property is located on the southwest side of Coastal Highway Route 1 off American Way. This plan is a revision to the preliminary site plan that was first reviewed and approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission at their meeting of Thursday, November 6, 2003. This plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code. Tax parcels are District 334, Map 6, parcels 487, 488, and 489. The zoning is C1 General Commercial Zoning District, and staff are awaiting agency approvals.
How long do these site plans, or it's like this 2003, anyway, that doesn't matter. My only question is that because now they've asked for a change and our requirement now is that there's interconnectivity between commercial areas, is there any interconnectivity?
I reached out to the applicant's engineer today asking for either an explanation as to why it could not be provided or to provide it in some way, and he responded back with he could not give us an answer at this time on either.
Okay, so this is one, I mean, I'm happy with what they have other than make a motion that they come up with some interconnectivity. Do we let it go until they can work it out?
Well, you can take no action. You can approve it with the condition that the final site plan shows interconnectivity. And then when you see the final site plan, you don't like it, you can send it back to the drawing board. Or you can accept it and go on.
I'm good with the final site plan needs to show interconnectivity, but I'm happy with approving the preliminary now. With
a second.
So the motion is to approve the preliminary site plan.
Help me out, Mr. Wheatley.
just taking this all the way through to the logical, to the end. The engineer hasn't responded to the office's request yet. And I'm wondering, you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt that there could be a reason why it's impractical or impossible.
Right.
That what we could do is take no action. That way we can get it right back on the agenda again.
Would make it easier for them.
Yeah. And if they can do the interconnectivity, they can hurry up and get it done, turn it in, then we can approve it at the preliminary stage, and it won't be a guessing game then,
right,
for anybody after that. It actually give them a little more certainty if we just wait.
Yeah, and it might be, looking at that, so the left side is built out. The right side, it looks like it's a condominium association. It may not be. that there's the, that they may come back, there's not just the ability to do it, but we ought to at least know one.
I mean, there's a driveway right there next, that, but that's, but I don't, but I mean, it might be that they've got storage there, they can't have people driving through, so, you know.
Looks like it's the Summerlin, which is right next to it.
It is a drive aisle to a multifamily back there, I was looking at it today.
I'm not gonna fall on a sword over it, but I mean, if they can find out, I would appreciate it.
Looking to see what we could actually be accomplished with, are we really doing anything looking up to?
So you don't think they can, because they, you don't think they'd be able to provide anything on the other side?
Yeah, concerned the problem will be here, but it will be on the other side, but if you want, I mean, it doesn't, you know, you can wait and find out, there's nothing wrong with that.
I want to find out.
Okay.
Sorry, we've just moved everything to the next meeting.
All right.
Is that a motion?
Just take no action.
Take no action until we find out about the interconnectivity.
We need a motion, is that correct?
Motion to take.
It's a motion to take no action, a second.
Okay, so move second to take no action on plans of Marion Cedar and Millwork, provide preliminary site plan, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carry.